other. You can't get that to duplicate my screen. Good morning. That's not extra credit. So before I talk about today's lesson, which is Animals of the Bible, Part 3, I was doing a calculation. I think I can do about 500 lessons on Animals of the Bible. So I do appreciate the comments and questions that I get from friends and church members and so on. The one I like the most is the one where the person says, "I wish I had had you as a teacher. If I had you as a teacher, I would have dropped out by sixth grade." That's the one that blesses my heart the most. So we talked about archaeology, and there's just a few things to clean up there. Earl asked this question. He said to me, "If the word is the cake, then archaeology is the icing on the cake." Get it? See, we look at the Word of God, and that's our guide and direction. And then archaeology supports that, right? The only problem with that is, what if there are people like me who like the icing more than the cake? And there are people that go off on these other things, right? Instead of the Word of God. Then here's a question that came from Earl. "If David was a man of faith, why take 5 stones to kill Goliath?" Pardon me, that was from Bob. Bob Berninger. Good thing I write these things down. So if David was a man of faith, I'm going to give you several choices here. Just an extra precaution in case he missed. I'm going to let you vote like I have on several other slides during the weeks. Wasn't sure if the Bob Goodson fastball would be working that day. Well, you got to be over 40 to understand that one, right? Needed some warm-up, or Goliath had relatives. So how many vote for that first and extra precaution? How many said he needs the Bob Goodson's? Wasn't sure if that was going to... Okay, how many say needed some warm-up? And how many say Goliath had relatives? And the answer comes also from Bob. "I was close. Goliath had relatives. 1 Chronicles 20, verse 4 through 8. There was a brother of Goliath and 3 grown sons of Goliath. So did they just lay down their arms when Goliath was killed? No. In 2 Samuel 15:22, the brother of Goliath had 6 fingers and 6 toes. Gives him a real advantage, I guess. The 3 grown sons of Goliath all were soldiers and were eventually killed by David and his companions. So that was the reason. And this came from Nat. Nat recommended to me to look at King Rootin' tomb. So I did some research and found a 1938 documentary on the History Channel of 3 archaeologists who were looking for this Egyptian pharaoh. And here's a picture from those. There's 2 of the 3 archaeologists studying the mummy, the pharaoh, King Rootin'. It turns out that this documentary, I gave it 4 stars out of 5, but there's a negative in front of the 4. And it's 16 and a half minutes of my life that I'll never get back. So today, can you believe session 14? I've taught class 14 times. Animals of the Bible, Part 3. And here's my little encouragement to me. Exhortation, encouraging the believers. I'm not a Bible teacher. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm none of those things. By the way, it's interesting. He said he gets an hour to let his food kind of settle. As a teacher, you got like 4 minutes. You eat your lunch, and you didn't eat big lunches because you just, you know, you couldn't go in and start teaching right away. So encouraging the believers, that's what I feel that my role is. And I like these optical illusions. Does it look like this SUV is levitating there? Depends on kind of where you focus your attention. Or if you have Photoshop like I do, you can eliminate the shadow, and maybe it comes down to earth for you. So, Mary Fairchild had an ultimate list of animals mentioned in the Bible, and there's a number of them. Today's lesson, we're going to talk about the bee. None on there. The dog and the donkey, I'm going to talk about those today. And you can see the eagle I covered in a previous lesson. I do that for myself too. What did I talk about? I don't remember. The lamb, covered in another section. Some more animals that I could talk about. Leviathan and lion, I talked in previous lessons. The pig was covered in a previous lesson. And sheep, covered in a previous lesson. Sparrow, covered in a previous lesson. The bee. Here's some interesting facts about bees. Bees live only 40 days. I don't know, Nat, you might want to, you know, check up on me. Is that correct? According to the internet, which is never wrong. They produce less than a teaspoon of honey. So when you buy that 16-ounce bottle from them, you probably could calculate how many bees went into the production of that honey. A beekeeper outfit is always white. They don't want to get them riled up. They visit over 1,000 flowers. Only the females sting. That's interesting. We knew that. They use the sun as a compass. On cloudy days, they use Google Maps. No, on cloudy days they use polarized light. It's not a physics class. I could explain plain polarized light and what happens there, but I'm not going to do that. Honeybees are the only ones who die after stinging. Interesting.
A swarm of bees settled under this umbrella and I was called to remove them. So I started scooping bees off the umbrella and putting them into a hive. When bees are in swarms like this, it means they're looking for a new place to live. They tend to be very docile since they don't have any resources to defend. They don't have a hive, food, or baby bees to protect, but they should have a queen. So with every handful of bees I scooped, I spent time searching for the queen. I repeated this process over and over again. By the time I removed most of the bees, I still had not seen the queen, and I realized this was an unusual case of a queenless swarm. This colony would not survive without a queen, but luckily I had an extra one on me I could give them. As soon as I gave the queen to the colony, they rushed to meet her. If they didn't accept her, they would try to kill her. If they did accept her, they would release her from the box by chewing through the piece of candy that stops up one end. As soon as the bees in the hive met the new queen, they began sending signals to the other bees, telling them to move off the umbrella and into the box. So I just waited in the swarm of bees as the colony moved into their new home. After about 15 minutes, most of the bees were with their colony. So I checked on the queen and saw that the bees were starting to accept her. I waited a while longer for the bees to get in their new hive. Then I loaded them into my truck and drove home. I put the bees in my apiary so they could continue the important work they do in a place that's...
And one of the great things about teaching these classes that I have, and Lori will confirm I spent a lot of time on it, I learn a ton. I didn't know that stuff. You can buy a queen bee. You can buy one. What? In the bee aisle at Walmart? I don't know. I went on eBay and looked. You can get one. And if you order now in the next 15 minutes...
$36.
$36? Okay, good. Order from Nat. So Samson in Judges 14:8, after some time when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. Bees use the sun as a compass. I already talked about that. Honeybee is the only type of bee that dies after stinging. And Nat could tell us why it's white. They react strongly to dark colors. Only the females sting. During the winter, some of the worker bees, their only job is to vibrate and heat the hive in order to keep it at optimal temperature. I remember Laurie and I asked Nat, do you bring them into the barn or something, you know, to keep them during the winter so they don't die out? And I think he said they lost a couple of the colonies earlier this last year. So, how many times, now I'm going to switch, I want to talk about honey, their product. How many times is honey mentioned in the Bible? Ready for these? I'm going to give you a hint. The land of milk and honey. Mentioned a couple times in the Old Testament. What do you think? 20? 41? 62? 83? Hike. Over 100. What do you say? How many say 20? How many say 41? How many say 62? How many say 83? How many say over 100? How many don't care? How many have no idea? Yeah, I know. On a multiple choice test in chemistry, you got to give an answer. 62 times. Honey is mentioned 62 times in the Bible. It's not always the same word, though. Most of the time, it appears as the land of milk and honey. So, this is the Hebrew word, and I'm going to show you when it's transliterated into English letters. Nopheth, Nopheth pronunciation, Psalm 19:10, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. Then there's another Hebrew word, looks similar, and this word is translated stickiness. So an attempt to maybe make my diet a little bit better, I started using honey on my cereal, and everything in that cupboard is sticky now. You know how that works. Debash, pronunciation, Genesis 43:11, Exodus 3:8, and the Song of Solomon. So, what is honey? You'd expect a chemist to ask that question, wouldn't you? Honey is composed of 80% sugar and 20% water. But as a chemist, I recognize there's more than one type of sugar. There's fructose, glucose, maltose, sucrose. Those are all sugars that are found in honey. Water, about 17%. Higher sugars, there are other sugars, galactose, maltose, and so on. Ash, about 0.2%. Somebody goes, I don't want any ash. I don't want to eat any ash. Do you realize grade A peanut butter is allowed to have 7 insect parts per pound? You go, no, I don't want it. No insect. Are you willing to pay $100 for a pound of peanut butter? You can have pure. They could take it out. Other unknown at 3.2%. These are monosaccharides. Mono means one. Sucrose is a disaccharide. 2 sugars. Here's some of the health benefits of honey. Antibacterial and antiseptic properties. Wound treatment. Fighting infections. Diarrhea. Heart disease. Diabetes, immunity, blood pressure, strokes, cholesterol levels, weight loss, bad breath, skin, sleep, cancer, Alzheimer's, speeding tickets, ringworm, buzzing in the ears, leprosy, poor self-esteem, deafness, choosing your fantasy football team. All these things attributed to honey. and avoiding taxes.
Yes.
Okay, the last page was completely made up. But this is paid for by Rumba and Sons. So those are the actual ones that are claimed by this website. And you know how claims work, right? You and I are probably skeptical about most of that. So here's the actual honey that we bought from Rumba and Sons. All right, so honey is composed of these materials. What about that blue agave sweetener? You know, this is for my honey. She likes blue agave. She buys it. It's about 1.5 times sweeter than sugar, sucrose, and about 20 times more expensive. But my honey wants to put that on her cereal, so that's what she puts on her cereal, while I put the disaccharide sugar on, and she goes, "Dan, that's not good for..." She doesn't call me Mr. Clark, she calls me Dan. She says, "That's not good for you." I go, "Okay, so my body has to take the disaccharide and break it down into monosaccharides so that during the pyruvic cycle..." She goes, "Oh, shut up." No, she doesn't say that. So there's the ingredients to honey on the left, and here's the agave blue sweetener. It's got a little more fructose, a little less glucose, no maltose, just a trace of sucrose, about 22% water. Here it is. Comes from Mexico. Did you know that? It is a product of the fractional distillation of used transmission fluid. No, that's not true. Derek told me, "Listen to me on internet." I go, "What? Needed an app or something?" I didn't know if my lessons are on the internet, but maybe they are. It's a genus of monocots native to hot and arid regions of the Americas. Monocots as opposed to dicots. See your biology textbook. Now, as a chemist, you know I'm going to do this. Here's a monosaccharide. Here's fructose. We could do... It's a ring compound. Here's glucose. And that's what sugar has to be broken up into before your body can use it. Okay? And there's sucrose. Those two sugars bonded together with an oxygen in the middle. And there's the process by which sucrose has to be broken down into the sugars that the body can use. Honey. Now, in the Bible, honey is God's promise of abundance. Bring them up from the land, Egypt, to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Here, there's the Hebrew word, debash, the pronunciation, and the word. There's the transliteration, pronunciation, and the meaning of the word, for those of you that are not Hebrew scholars. When King David and his men were on the run from Absalom, they were greeted with beds, basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, roasted grain, beans, lentils, roasted seeds, honey, curds, sheep, and cheese of the herd. There's the word honey, 2 Samuel 17. And here's the word. The actual word is not honey, but comb. The honeycomb. All right, and of course you get the comb, you get honey. The mention of John the Baptist living off of a diet of locusts and wild honey points to a man surviving off of the land and the natural resources provided by his creator. And there's the reference there. Which Hebrew word is used here? I'm looking at this 9:30 last night. Yes. No, there's no Hebrew word here. It's not Hebrew. It would be Greek. All right, so there's the Greek word. How sweet are your words to my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. God's word is described as honey. And more desirable than gold, yes, than more, much pure gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Wisdom, my son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that the wisdom is the same for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs. Now, I thought some of the women that had work would be in here at this time, so I put this off a little bit. But my hat's off to the women who work behind the scenes at breakfast and other... Oh, wait a second. Can I say that, woman? Oh, wait, I'm not a biologist. I'm not even on the Supreme Court. I am a chemist, so maybe I could say woman, maybe I couldn't. I don't know. But thank you very much, ladies, for the work that you do. And as soon as you start naming them, you're going to forget somebody. Pam and Tracy and Kelly and Marilyn and Diane and Jean and Cassie and Heather and Gloria and Kamala. Kamala was back there? No, Camilla. Camilla. Then I want to talk about dogs. Dogs are mentioned 41 times in the Bible. There are at least 157 breeds recognized by the AKC. What's AKC? American Kennel Club. Now, I know you say dogs, you know, cats, you don't like cats. Well, dogs can't operate an MRI machine. But cats can. So where's my student going, ta-dum-tum? There are actually three general types of dogs. Domesticated. How many have dogs at home? Four people, okay. Wild dogs and lying dog-faced pony soldier.
The Democratic caucus. There been no caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were. Now you got to be honest. Now I'm going to be honest with you.
So, lying dog-faced pony soldier. You got to be kidding me. What were you thinking? Work dogs were selected for their ability to work under the shepherd's direction. They're hardy bodies that can endure the cold and the heat. Their loyalty to the shepherd and his flock. Dogs are loyal. Cats, I don't want to be in the living room, bing!
In the past, gathering the sheep would have been a huge community event, with whole villages ascending the mountain. But now it's left to Gwyn and a handful of neighbours to gather 3,000 acres of sheer mountainside. One thing hasn't changed, though: the shepherd's reliance on his oldest companion.
The basic commands for dogs is awake and by and lie down. The whistles are very similar.
Lie down! Lie down!
If you have one in English and one in Welsh, you don't get confused with the commands, do you? Unless I get older, I get very confused. And when I had three working dogs, I don't know what the third dog's language was. It was more swear words and all kinds of stuff.
Back here now!
We get a few awkward ones that either don't know the way home or they just want to, you know, stay on the mountain. So it's a little bit more difficult with the weather being so hot to shift them. The dogs get tired very quickly. The shepherds get very tired.
Trying to shepherd these animals in this terrain without these dogs helping. Neither can I. Now, dogs aren't perfect. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who reverts to his folly. And I think we all have done that, revert to our own folly. 2 Kings 9:37. But when they went to bury her, they found no more than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. These were not domesticated dogs. These were the wild mongrels that you see running around. I think the wildest animal, emotional support animal, was taken on a plane, I think was a llama. Okay, this is my emotional support llama. Luke 16:19-21. The rich man and Lazarus, even the dogs would come and lick his sores, not your domesticated dogs, the mongrels that you would find roaming around in the Middle East. And the word here is kuon. Metaphorically, impudent minds. That's the translation of that word. However, Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Jesus used the nicer word for dog, but he answers that it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs or the puppies, the domesticated dogs. And this is a different word. Kunavern, little dogs, pets. And then the woman replied, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Little dogs, pets, puppies.
Shall we start the show? Welcome to the Great British Breakfast. I love eating biscuit. I'm not sure about making it if it was biscuit.
He looks like sheep.
Alice's macaroon masterpiece.
I think that's a fine piece of work.
And sure, cheetah.
Get my hat! Happy guy, oh, just a happy, happy, happy guy. Oh, just a look at that, a happy, oh, the happy dog. Oh, just a happy, happy, happy.
Our granddaughters love that. So, you may have a dog that will help you relax at night. Come home, you pet the dog.
You know, a lot of people ask me, after a long day of voiceover or writing or doing all those creative things that I do, how do I relax? Well, like many other Americans, I come home and I pet my dog. You see, petting your dog is one of the most relaxing things you can possibly do. It releases a hormone called oxytocin, which reduces stress. Also, it lowers your heart rate.
And again, I want you to teach your cat to do this. Definitely showed you that one on purpose. Pa-dum-pum. And the last animal I'm going to talk about is the donkey. Several references there in the Old Testament and New Testament. Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah was written 6th century B.C. To me, one of the great testaments that the Bible is God's word are prophecies that are fulfilled. I think you will agree. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on him, on them, and set him on them. Now, this is something that struck me last Tuesday night when I was at Purdue's FCA and we're studying, I think, Luke 11. Think about the Romans and what kind of processions, triumphant processions they had. And think about the procession that Christ had when he came into Jerusalem. Wouldn't you say it looked more like this? Wouldn't you say that that procession coming into Rome after one of the victories of the Roman army would look like this? I'm not a biologist, so I'm just going to say Ben Person. So this is from the Gospel of John, from the movie, the Gospel of John, which is just words in Scripture, no added words, no commentary by people. And I found out at 10 o'clock at night I develop on another computer, then bring it to this computer. My videos weren't working, so I had to do something else.
Him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says. Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king, riding on a young donkey. His disciples did not.
Look at the contrast. The pomp and ceremony of the Roman, and then the lowly creator of the universe coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. Think of that. It's similar to the entrance of a pharaoh or a king being born compared to what Jesus was. And lowly, humble. Isaiah 1:3, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider or understand. Donkeys are not easily startled, unlike horses, which most definitely are. You think of horses, they can be very skittish. Because of their amazing memory, donkeys can recognize areas and other donkeys they were with from up to 25 years ago. I don't recognize my students from 25 years ago. Donkeys are considered to be very intelligent animals. In case they sense something wrong while traveling, they will simply not move ahead and will start digging in their heels. Numbers 22. Look it up. It's a long story. Balaam and the donkey. And the donkey stopped moving. And Balaam ended up smacking him in the head. And the donkey talked back. Donkeys. Compared to horses, donkeys are capable of independent thinking and decision-making, ensuring their safety. Donkeys have a special and very efficient digestive system that is capable of breaking down even the most inedible breakfast served at Berean. Oh, that was very good. Donkeys kill more people annually than plane crashes. Really? I wanted to check this. So, I went to Snopes. Do you go to Snopes and type in things and they tell you whether it's true or false? I don't know. Do you go to another site and type in, you know, is Snopes reliable? More donkey fatalities than airplane fatalities. Their answer? Partially true, but donkeys are smarter than elephants. Do you notice a little lean to the left there? And Trump is still a jerk. That was their response. I used Snopes for a while. Then I got to thinking, who checks on Snopes? They are definitely left-leaning. I typed this in on Cha-Cha, the Chinese version of Snopes. More donkey fatalities than airplane fatalities? Their answer? Cheng Chong, Cheng Chong, Cheng Chong, Zing Chong, Cheng. I have no idea what that says. I actually did go to Google Translate to figure out what those words were. I don't remember what it said. China has the highest number of donkeys in the entire world. Donkeys get depressed very easily when left alone. That is the reason they live in herds. Interesting. Oh. That's smarter than a horse? Laurie was working on sewing in the other room. When I came out, she says, "What are you doing in there?" I looked through about 20 or 30 donkey videos, and that was the best. The baby of a female horse and a male donkey is known as a... You're right, mule. When Laurie and I went to the Grand Canyon, you know, we thought about going down with the mules down into the canyon. We decided otherwise. We're going to hike down the canyon. They tell you where when you go and look for a mule, they say, "We've never lost a mule, never, in the history, and we've been doing it since the 30s, never lost a mule on the Grand Canyon." They don't tell you that they've lost riders before. They have. The baby of a male horse and a female donkey is known as a... Who said that? 2 extra credit points on your test. On the final exam, 2 extra credit points. Just put +2 EC. I'll know what that means. Very good. H-I-N-N-Y. I did not know that. Think of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Think of Jesus' entry into the world. Think of Jesus' exit from the world. The last time Jesus entered Jerusalem, he was meek and lowly, riding on a donkey. I guarantee you, the return of Jesus won't be on a chariot or on a donkey. With that, I end. I will make this comment. The Messiah, I'm trying to download the Hallelujah chorus. The Messiah is about, the video I had, over 2 hours long. Do you know where the Hallelujah chorus is in the Messiah? It took me about 2.5 hours to find it and cut it out. I thought, well, I could just bring the whole thing. We'll just play the whole thing for you. And, of course, I was able to cut it out. And when I was done, Laurie says, "Practicing on your opera, Dan?" Whoa, 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 whoa! Yes, that's what I was doing. And there are parts of the Messiah. I am not into opera. I just can't take it. But the Hallelujah chorus and the choruses are absolutely fantastic. And it's incredible what... Handel did in writing the Messiah. Now, you've got six minutes before the bell rings. You can work on tomorrow's homework. You want to close this, Pastor?